Friends, in your bulletins today, you'll find an outline of this morning's message. Remember, our second message in the Desiring God series. And obviously, there'll be material on the PowerPoint as well. I want to pray that God would speak to us and encourage us to be men and women who pray, and men and women who will begin to pray like never before. Father God, we pray for you to so work in our hearts and in our lives that we would pray that your name would be glorified and that our joy would be full. Lord, this is your desire, and so we ask that you would speak to us and encourage us to do so this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, Mandy Hanna attends our night congregation, and in 1995, she double dislocated her top two vertebrae, C1 and C2, when she was in year six at school. It's an extremely serious injury, and she was told by the doctors that survival from such an injury was pretty much nil. They said spinal cord injury at that level was basically deadly. When a specialist discovered the injury, which was 13 weeks after it had first happened, he sent her straight to hospital and operated the next morning. Over the night, he rang around and did as much research as he could on her situation to try to fix up the problem. The operation did not work. The doctor did not know where else to turn and what else to do. He contacted specialists all around the world to try and find a solution. They came up with a possible solution. The problem was that if she wasn't treated, it would result in spinal injury sooner or later, possibly quadriplegia, or more likely death. But the surgery itself could lead to her death, and if she survived, she would lose any head movement for the rest of her life. That was prognosis. The doctors asked her parents to make a decision that night about the surgery. It was such an urgent situation. Her parents said, "We'd like to go home. We'd like to pray and seek the Lord on this." They went home and they prayed. A prayer chain began circulating within Christian networks, both in Australia and various countries around the world. Literally thousands of people were praying for Mandy in that situation and for wisdom for her parents. Crunch time came for her parents. It was decided that they should go ahead with the operation. They had no choice. But before they underwent the operation, they chose to do a final x-ray before surgery. One last x-ray, which showed that she was clear of any problem with C1 and C2. But I just looked at the one x-ray, looked at the other x-ray, and they were baffled by what had taken place. There's no longer any dislocation. She did not need surgery. And in the words of the doctor, this could only have been a miracle from God. A non-Christian doctor, dare I say. This could only have been a miracle from God. There's no explanation for it. And Mandy says that when her parents came in to say a final goodbye and best wishes before she went into surgery, she was out of bed, the nurses were out of bed, and they together ran towards her parents. Can you imagine that picture? The daughter and the nurses running towards the parents. She's healed. It's all back in position. She doesn't need the surgery. Your daughter is fine. Friends, when we pray, God answers. He gets the glory. We get the joy. And there was a lot of joy that day, don't you think? And that story has been shared with many people around the place. Mandy's become involved with a top spinal specialist in the Southern Hemisphere who attends world specialist conferences around the world. Each year for several years, he said, her doctor would take the x-rays to meetings and put them out before them and say, "What do you do with this? What do you do with this?" Mandy says, the Lord healed her. We pray, God answers, God is glorified, and our joy overflows. John Piper, in his book Desiring God, writes, "We learn from the Bible that God's interest is to magnify the fullness of his glory by spilling over in mercy to us. The most precious truth in the Bible is that God's great interest is to glorify the wealth of his grace by making sinners happy in him." In him. That's why we're talking about desiring God. We desire God, we enter a relationship with God, and it overflows into happiness for us. It says, "When we humble ourselves like little children and put on no airs of self-sufficiency, but run happily into the joy of our Father's embrace, the glory of his grace is magnified and the longing of our soul is satisfied." Men and women see God as God who delivers, God who answers prayer, and people glorify him, and then we are satisfied. Now, not all situations end up like that. Let me just say that right at the beginning. God does not heal everyone who gets prayed for. God in his mercy sometimes does different things. Each of us will go to our death one day, and we sang earlier, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But often as we call upon the Lord, he acts responds in response to our prayers. So firstly, we're going to look at two aspects this morning. Prayer's pursuit of God's glory, prayer's the pursuit of our joy. Firstly, pursuit of God's glory. John 14, verse 13. God says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. When we ask in his name, we ask consistent with his character and his purposes. You ask, I will do it. The Son brings glory to the Father. What does it say? If you want to take anything with you tonight, is this, or today is this. We pray in his name. Jesus answers, God gets the glory. Someone says to me, why should I pray? Because God will be glorified through it. Prayer expresses our God dependency, our need of help, our need of the power and generosity of God to be at work in our lives. When we pray, God answers. John 15 says, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, in relationship with God, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen to that last expression. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God says that we are spiritually paralyzed. We cannot do the good things God wants us to do. Without Christ, we are not capable of doing them. We must remain in Christ. We receive his power and his dynamic to live this new life. How do we get this power? John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Let me say that again. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. So you pray for God to be at work in you. Verse 8 says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We pray, we bear fruit, God gets the glory. All of life for a Christian, if you're a Christian here today, all of life is that God will be glorified. If you're not a Christian here today, let me say, God saves us and works in us in order that people would see how wonderful, how beautiful, how loving, how generous God is, and people too would embrace him by faith. And Piper writes, prayer is the open admission that without Christ we can do nothing. And prayer is turning away from ourselves to God in the confidence that he will provide the help we need. Prayer, I love this expression, humbles us as needy and exalts God as wealthy. So we live in a Western society today. You can have almost anything you want. If you can work, you can buy whatever you like. You can buy the car, you can buy the house, you can go on holidays, whatever you like. In a sense, you don't need God. That's how you feel sometimes. And let me say, Christians live as if they don't need God. So many of you will know that my wife broke a leg a week and a half ago and had further surgery on Monday night to put a plate in and some screws in. Now, let me say, I've learned to pray more since that time. Pray with my daughters for mum, and I pray for healing and so on. But I also pray in the middle of the night, or dare I say, in the middle of the morning. Every so often, Linda needs to get up. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, or 5 or 3 or 2, whatever happens to me, and it's dark. And I'm lying next to her, you see, she's got a leg in plaster. She's got some crutches next to the bed. And as soon as she wakes up, I'm up. I'm lying there, hearing her trying to get out of bed, hoping that as she stands up, she doesn't fall over. And I'm saying, Lord, please, please, not today. Keep her going and keep her coming back. And I don't go to sleep. I'm just waiting there until she comes back. Please, Lord, bring her back. Bring her back. Bring her back. It teaches you to pray when you've got troubles. If everything's going well, you don't pray. Let me tell you, when things aren't going well, you pray like never before. And when she puts her bottom on that bed and I hear her back, leg comes up, onto the two pillows, raised, puts a sheet over her, I thought, praise God, we made it another day. We pray. And you start to realize that we're needy, God is wealthy, God will provide for us. Friends, I think sometimes we don't pray because we don't really know Jesus. If you knew God, you would pray. John chapter 4, Jesus was speaking to a Samaritan woman. A Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Jesus had asked for a drink. Men and women didn't normally talk to one another and they had different cultural backgrounds. And Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus is saying to this woman, if you realize who I was, you'd pray to me. You'd talk to me. You'd ask me, I can give you whatever you need. That thing that will satisfy your thirst and your life, living water, if you knew who I was, you'd ask. Friend, if you're a follower of Christ, you have all the resources of God at your disposal. If you really know that Jesus is master of the universe, Lord over all, over creation, and he's coming back to judge the world, if you knew how big he was and how great he was, you would pray. But I must confess that often I don't pray because I live in a Western society. I earn my income. I pay for this. And I think I am self-sufficient. Prayer reminds us how great Jesus is when we're not self-sufficient. I love this quote by Piper. He says, "A prayerless Christian is like a bus driver trying to push his bus out of a rut, out of a ditch, because he doesn't know Clark Kent is on board." It's like, "Come on, get this bus out of the way." "Well, hello." A little tap of the finger and the bus is out. See, we have God living in us. If you're a Christian, God lives in you by his Holy Spirit. God is waiting for you to speak to him and invite him to be part of your life and your experience. Someone far greater than Superman is on board. The God of the universe is on board. Friends, when you ask, guess what? The giver gets the glory. The giver gets the glory. When you ask of God and the one who gives you things, he gets the glory. Psalm 50. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor or glorify me." Here's the psalmist who's in trouble. He says, "Call upon me in your day of your trouble. Don't find our solution some other way. Call upon me. I will deliver you and you will honor and glorify me." Charles Spurgeon, an older preacher from a couple of centuries ago, writes, "Here is a compact, a covenant that God enters into with you who pray to him, with whom he helps. He says, 'You shall have deliverance, but I must have the glory.' Here's the delightful partnership. We obtain that which we so greatly need, and all that God getteth is the glory which is due unto his name." I was reading a story in a mission magazine, 1989, June, July, the mission magazine, Mission Frontiers. A guy called Frank, let's call him Frank, that's not his real name, it's a pseudonym. But he was in prison in a Latin American country for false charges. But they put him into a prison with a huge man. This man was a huge man wrapped in a towel, four golden chains around his neck and a ring on every finger. This guy was scary. He said, "I got into the cell and there's just this big guy looking at me." So I don't know if his mind was working right, but it was a dangerous place. And said, "Lord, please deliver me from this evil." Right? And the guy looked at him and Frank started to tell him about Jesus and God's love and God's forgiveness. That's being proactive with this guy. And then he prayed, "God, deliver me." And the man changed color. He shouted at Frank to shut up and told him to leave him alone. Guy called out. God delivered him. But you know what else happened in that prison? The next day, he led a Muslim man to Christ. He spoke to a Muslim man, told him about Jesus. He became a Christian. This Muslim man then said, "Listen, I have 15 other Muslim friends. Can you speak to them tomorrow and the next few days about this Jesus that you've told me about?" Another 15 men gathered the next day. He then asked for a lawyer. He got a lawyer. He asked for a box of Bibles. They delivered a box of Bibles. So the next day, here he's preaching to a group of 45 people in prison, handing out Bibles to men who knew nothing about Jesus beforehand and who came to faith in Christ. Why did it happen? Because God is merciful. Because he prayed and God provided all that he needed. The giver gets the glory. And I tell you, Frank is not saying, "What a good evangelist I was. What a courageous man I am." You know what he's saying? "What a good God I serve. What a big God I serve." And you guys, prisoners in here, you ought to serve him too. Because he loves you. He died on a sent his son to die on a cross for you. He can change your life. You don't have to end up in prison any longer. You can start doing the right thing. God gets the glory. 1 Peter 4, "If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." Did you notice that? If you serve, and I know most of you serve in some ministry, do it with the strength God provides. God gives you the strength to do it. Therefore, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. You see, if I preach or I serve or I cook or whatever in my own strength, then I get the glory. When I trust that God is working in me, that's what the Bible says, God is working in us, then God is glorified. Well, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. This is one of my favorite verses. "But by the grace of God, God's generosity, I am what I am. He was an enemy of the gospel, became an apostle of the gospel. And his grace to me was not without effect. Now, I worked harder than all of them." Paul says, "I worked hard. I served. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me." So Paul says, God is at work. God gets the glory. God gives me the strength and the ability. Philippians 2, a similar verse. "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." God is at work. Take Romans 15, verse 18. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Paul has traveled from place to place, city to city, country to country. He's been shipwrecked. He's been imprisoned. He's been beaten. He's been stoned with rocks. The guy has been through heaps. He says, I will only speak of what Christ has done through me. I will not speak about what I have done. I'll speak about what Christ has done through me. God gets the glory. So what should you pray for? All types of things. Nowy Baptist Church, what should we pray for? There are people who don't know Jesus. Friday night, another lady in our congregation became a follower of Christ. Praise God for that. Her friend's been praying for her. She did our Discovering Jesus course last year, and people have been praying for her. She was at a meeting the other night and gave her life to Christ. People who are lost, we need to pray that God's fame would spread this in this city and overseas. We need to pray that the gospel will run and triumph, and men and women will say, this gospel is good news. I want it for myself. We need to pray that the sick will be made well. We need to be praying for those who are not content in all circumstances, that God will make them content. We need to pray for justice and peace in our world. We need to pray for the spiritual maturity of our church. We need to pray that men and women who don't have food and clothing will get it. We need to pray that this church will be characterized by love, etc., etc., etc. You've got to pray. But let me say, don't pray like an adulteress. James 4 says, when you ask, do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Important verse, isn't it? You don't just ask for things for yourself. You ask for things that will benefit God, other people, and God's kingdom. God says, if you only ask for yourself when you are selfish and self-centered, you don't get it. It says, it is friendship with the world, which is hatred towards God. Prayer is the pursuit of God's glory. Now, prayer is the pursuit of our joy. So not only, and this is important, not only does God get glorified when prayer is answered, God says, you get joy. You get joy. Listen to this. It's John 16, verse 24. Ask and you will receive. Before we said ask and God will give it to you and he will be glorified, now ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. In other words, God wants you to be joyful. Now, if you are not joyful and you're a Christian, it's about time you started praying. It's about time you started praying. You think, oh, my life's miserable. I'm a Christian. I'm following God all these years. It's pretty dull and boring. Let me tell you something. Prayerlessness produces joylessness. The closer you come to God, the greater power and the greater joy God will give you. Let me show you how that works. Let me tell you about Lucy. Lucy was a woman, I think, in her 20s, late 20s. Was a non-Christian woman. She had Christian friends all around her at work, at recreation time. She said she loved her Christian friends, and they would often tell her about Jesus. They would often pray for her. She'd say, thank you very much for doing that, but I can't believe that Jesus died for me. For 2 years, this woman heard about Jesus, and didn't receive the message for herself. And one night, one of her friends who was praying for her was awoken in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. That's the last thing you want to be doing, is waking up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I know. But this guy said, I got up and I felt the conviction of God to pray for Lucy. Said, I just sat in my bed and said, Lord, please help Lucy to understand that you love her. Please help Lucy to understand that you can forgive her and give her a new life. What had happened while he was praying for Lucy, at Lucy's house, she was up at the same time. She couldn't sleep. And while she was lying there, she was thinking about all the things her Christian friends had told her. And she said, well, this guy, and unbeknown to one another, one guy's praying in his house, the middle of the night or the morning, and she's at her place and she's thinking it all through, and she said, it clicked, I got it, and I received Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. I became a Christian. Next morning, Lucy got up and she rang her friend. I said, listen, whatever his name happened to be, I just want to tell you something, that last night about this time I got it. I understood what God had done for me, and now I'm a Christian. The guy on the phone, he said, he almost fell off his chair. Said, you did what? I became a Christian. When? God placed him at a specific time. God was speaking. God speaks through the prayers of his people, and God speaks directly to people to bring him to that point of conversion. And this guy who had prayed for her, he said, I wept tears of joy. Okay? I wept tears of joy. God brings joy to his people when they pray. And this woman who came to faith in Christ just the other night, her friend's been praying for her and agonizing. I tell you, there is joy in her heart because her friend has come to know Christ. And I look out here now and I see some of you have become Christians the last 3 or 4 years. And I know the joy that God put into your hearts when you trusted in him. But friends, I want to say that prayer is the nerve center of our fellowship with Jesus. You know, it needs to express what God has done. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. In other words, if you allow the words of Jesus to so permeate your thinking, your behavior, you will ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. When you pray, you speak out of the word of God in your heart and in your mind. If you're not taking in the word of God, you're not going to pray. John Piper writes again, prayer is God's appointed way to fullness of joy because it is the vent of the inward burnings of our heart for Christ. If we had no vent, if we couldn't express it some way, if we could not commune with him in response to his word, we would be miserable indeed. And yet so often, we don't stop and pray, do we? That clip was great earlier today, wasn't it? All of a sudden, shh. It's interesting the attention that silence can give you. All of a sudden, just everyone's reading the word. God calls us to stop and pray. But friends, further, prayer empowers us for the mission of love. You know, it's not about getting joy for yourself and sitting back and doing nothing. Joy overflows into loving witness, into loving service to others. John 16:24 says, ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. But it goes on to say, verse 7 and 8, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. God wants to do something with your life to bear fruit. He doesn't want you to sit back and think, oh, I'm glowing, I'm happy today. I have the joy of the Lord. Look at my face. I smile well. I mean, my face shines like pregnant women's face shine. No, it's not like that. Okay? That you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And in verse 16 and 17 of John, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Friends, Christ empowers us for the mission of love, to bear fruit, to show love to others. And when a Christian says, yeah, well, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, I don't have to do anything now. So you don't get Christianity. Christianity is other person-centered. You get saved, God comes into you, he gives you happiness and joy and fulfillment, and it overflows into love to others. And therefore we pray. Friends, there's a broken, lost world all around us. We've been given a mission of love to be with the hurting and the broken, to present the message to those who are lost. You see, a Christian can't be happy and stingy. Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Christians must give out, and give out. You know, there's a scripture, there's a school, Hannon's Road Public, it's only about 5 minutes drive down that direction. About 10 years ago, it had about eight Protestant scripture teachers in the school. Today there is one. There are kids going to scripture and there's no one to take them. They go back to class. And Bronwyn Hubble, who teaches down there, is the last teacher there. Said, we need teachers. The kids are happy kids. They want to be in scripture. They want to learn about God. But we don't have anyone to teach them. We need to pray that God will send out workers into his harvest field. And as we pray, one of us might be the solution to that school's need and the needs of those children. And finally, the final joy of God's people, when will that come? It doesn't come here and now. It comes when Christ comes again, when men and women from every people and tongue and tribe and nation gather in worship to God. We look forward to that day when Christ will come again. Friends, I started with the story of Mandy Hannah. I'm going to finish the story of Mandy Hannah. Because on Monday this past week, in terrible driving conditions, Mandy Hannah was involved in a car accident. It was some accident. She lost control of her car in the rain, picture driving. She swerved to one side. A lot of there was oncoming traffic. She quickly swerved back. She tried to straighten up. She wasn't able to do so. Next to the side of the road that she was on was a channel of water. So the water in the channel was about 7 metres below road level. There's a road level 7 metres below. As she swerved back and lost control, and I guess the wheels locked, she went flying off the road, did a flip in midair, and then ended up upside down completely in the river. She was trapped in the car, she said, which was quickly filling up. It was upside down. All the doors were shut and locked, couldn't get out. She was banging on windows and trying to do anything she could to get attention. But she said to me, I'm not sure whether she was flying through the air, turning over, whether she was down there. She stopped for a moment in the midst of the hysteria, and she said, you know, I just thought, this is the end of my life. So what did you do? I thank God for my life. Isn't that impressive? I was just there, God, thank you for my life. I think I'm going to die now. I'm going to come be with you, which the Bible says is better by far, by the way. But I said, God, thank you for my life. So I tried to break the passenger window. I couldn't do it. I needed to breathe somehow. The water was rising in my car. And then I saw a man run down the hill, down the incline, got to my car, somehow had the strength to so push the car that he was able to open one of the doors. Pulled me out. This stage, there are bystanders everywhere up the top of the road, seeing this car flying through the air, and it's upside down. It is crushed. This car is crushed. And they said, who's in the car? Ambulance officers turn up, fireys turn up, everyone turned up. I said, who's still in the car? They said, no one's in the car. I said, who was in the car? I said, I was. She's sitting up, talking. And he just looked at her. She said, the bystanders at the top of the hill were calling out, said, you're a lucky girl. You have to buy yourself a lottery ticket. And in her own words, cops and ambos and fireys came to the scene. They checked her out, no broken bones. Shock and disbelief, she says, I was drenched, I was muddy. Ambulance officer checked me out, said I was doing really well. The police officer who took my report said, man, I can't believe you're alive. You need to buy yourself a lottery ticket. So my mum and dad came up to pick me up. I didn't want to go to the hospital without them. They saw me, I was alive. They didn't know what they would find at the scene. Hospital that night said more police officers and ambulance officers will keep walking past and go, Mandy, man, buy yourself a lottery ticket. What is this about lottery tickets? And she said, I'm just trying to get in to see my spinal specialist at Prince of Wales Hospital to make sure everything is okay from the original accident. Because he always said I can do anything except impact activities. Said, I've had quite an impact. Yeah, I bet you have. She said, I don't have a phone, a car, a lot of other stuff that was in my car at that moment. I had my work diary, my client notes, about to visit a client. Then I thought, and I stopped, and I thought I shouldn't care about all of that stuff because God spared my life. Really, what more could I ask for? Here's Mandy expressing her confidence in God. Thank you, God, for my life. And God in his mercy delivers her. God is glorified. And you think Mandy's got a bit of joy in her life? And her joy overflows. Why don't you pray like never before for the glory of God and for your joy to be complete? Father God, thank you that you invite us to pray. You call upon us to talk to you. Express our thanks and our adoration, to confess our sins, to intercede for others, to pray for others. Express our dependence upon you. God, you're a good God. And Lord, we know sometimes you don't answer the prayers the way we'd like them, but you work despite the evil in this world, despite the bad things that happen. You're able to turn even evil to good through your mercy. And Father, make us a praying people, we pray. That people would see your beauty, your glory, and your love, and that our joy would be full. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.